All right, diving right in today, folks, to some pretty heavy stuff. Actually, Death in Bardos?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from the teachings of E.J. Gold. He kind of mixes this ancient wisdom with modern insights. You
Right.
know, we all kind of tiptoe around the subject of death.
Yeah, we do.
But E.J. Gold jumps right in and says death isn't the end,
Yeah.
but a transition into these Bardo realms.
And what's interesting about these Bardo realms is they're, according to Gold, just as real and diverse as the physical world we live in now.
So no fluffy clouds or pearly gates, huh?
No, he's not talking about that kind of afterlife. He's describing these really vivid and challenging experiences that are shaped by how we're living right now.
So no hitting the reset button when we die, huh?
Not according to Gold.
Everything we do in this life impacts what comes next.
Absolutely.
Okay, that makes this deep dive a lot more relevant than I thought it was going to be.
Gold says that preparing for death, it isn't about becoming morbid. It's about becoming more awake and aware now in this life. He uses this analogy of a pearl diver preparing for a deep dive. So they don't just jump right in. They carefully check their equipment. They study the currents and they understand the risks involved.
Okay, yeah, that analogy makes sense. So how do we actually prepare? What are we supposed to be doing to get ready for these Bardo experiences?
Well, one of Gold's key concepts is this idea of waking up the machine.
Waking up the machine.
Okay.
And this might sound a little sci-fi,
Yeah, a little bit.
but it's really about becoming conscious of our true nature.
Okay.
Now, Gold describes the machine as,
Yeah.
you know, our habitual patterns, our
Yeah.
conditioned responses,
Okay.
all that stuff that runs on autopilot in our daily life.
So, like, we're all sleepwalking through life. And waking up the machine is about becoming more present.
More intentional.
Okay.
But how does that relate to navigating these Bardo realms?
Imagine you're playing a video game. Your character reacts instinctively to attacks, follows a set path, right? That's the machine at work. But what if you could become aware of the controls and start choosing different responses? That's what waking up allows you to do, both in life and in the Bardos.
I see the connection.
Yeah.
So we're not just passively swept along by our habits,
Right.
but we can actually learn to recognize them
Yeah.
and make different choices.
Right.
What about those who are facing imminent death?
Oh.
Is there like a crash course in waking up?
Gold tells this really amazing story about a group he worked with called the Winnipeg Nine.
Winnipeg Nine.
One of the members was terminally ill, and the whole group dedicated themselves to helping him achieve spiritual progress in a really compressed time frame.
So facing death
Yeah.
with this sense of urgency and purpose really
Absolutely.
intensified their efforts.
It did. It really focused them.
So you're saying even though death is intensely personal,
Yeah.
it doesn't have to be a solo journey.
Not
We
necessary.
can actually support each other.
Right. And what's powerful about this is that the sense of urgency, it isn't just for those facing a terminal diagnosis. It's something we can all tap into. Think about how differently you might approach your day, your week, your whole life if you really grasp the value of each moment.
Yeah, that's pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah.
One thing that really jumped out at me in the source material was this idea that we can actually have Bardo-like experiences while we're still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Gold mentions a musician named Jimmy Accardi who spontaneously entered a Bardo state while walking down the street.
Yeah, it just highlights the unexpected nature of these transitions. Jimmy described feeling totally disoriented, like he was in a dream, but he couldn't wake up. Gold also uses this analogy of a chamber, which is an endless bathroom,
Endless bathroom.
to describe how some of these Bardo realms can feel.
Okay, that's a vivid image. So do we have to accidentally slip into another dimension to experience the Bardos?
No, not at all. Think about times when you felt lost or stuck in a rut or overwhelmed by fear. Those can actually be glimpses of those Bardo states
I love
playing out in everyday life. Recognizing those moments can help us prepare for the bigger transitions that are inevitable for all of us.
So it's about noticing when we're trapped in our own personal endless bathroom, so to speak.
Exactly. And finding a way to break the cycle.
That makes me think about fear. Seems like that would be a huge factor in those Bardo experiences.
Oh, absolutely. Gold is very clear about that. Recognizing and managing fear is crucial for navigating those Bardos effectively.
He even describes this tool that might appear.
Yes.
A red book.
A red book.
That offers guidance tailored to your specific situation.
Yes.
What do you mean? Hold on.
Yeah.
A red book that sounds like something out of a fantasy novel.
Right.
Is this literal or symbolic?
It's a powerful symbol of the inner wisdom that we can tap into.
Right.
Even when we're surrounded by the unknown.
So you're not going to find a literal red book in your living room?
No, you're not.
But you can cultivate those qualities that it represents, mm-hmm. like clarity, awareness,
yeah.
that gut feeling that tells you what's true for you.
That's it.
So it's about becoming our own red books.
Exactly.
Learning to trust our inner compass
right.
to guide us through challenging terrain.
Absolutely.
Okay, that brings up another interesting point Gold makes.
Okay.
The idea of these four faces of existence.
Right.
What exactly are these four faces?
So he explains that the four faces are birth,
okay.
life, that's death,
right, huh?
And the bardo state.
Okay.
Now, we tend to hyper-focus on just one aspect at a time,
mm-hmm.
which distorts our view of the whole.
So we're missing the bigger picture.
We are.
The interconnectedness of it all.
Yes.
But how does recognizing these four faces actually change things?
It's about embracing a more holistic perspective.
Okay.
Realizing that death isn't separate from life.
Right.
But it's an integral part of the cycle.
Right.
Gold argues that this shift in perspective can radically transform how we live right now.
That's a pretty big claim.
It is.
But before we go down that rabbit hole.
Okay.
There's one more thing I want to unpack.
Okay.
The work.
Yeah.
What exactly is this work?
Yeah.
And how does it relate to this machine?
Right.
We were talking about earlier.
Okay. Okay, so the work, as Gold describes it, is this conscious effort to awaken to our true nature, you know, mm-hmm. to move beyond the limitations of the machine, those ingrained habits and reactive patterns we've been talking about.
So it's not about erasing our humanness,
right.
but about learning to work with it.
That's it.
To use our human experience as a springboard for something more.
Yeah, Gold stresses that fighting against our nature is actually counterproductive.
How so?
It's like trying to swim upstream against a powerful current.
Okay.
Instead, we need to learn to navigate that current to use its force to propel us forward.
It's a good analogy.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that Gold also talks about this 30-day hermitage retreat.
Right.
What's the purpose of that?
Well, the retreat is designed to create this environment that's conducive to waking up the machine.
So it's like the work boot camp.
You could think of it that way, yeah.
But how does this intense retreat experience actually relate to navigating the bardos?
Well, while the time frame might be different,
okay.
the skills that you cultivate during the retreat,
yeah.
things like heightened awareness, recognizing habitual patterns, and managing fear, those are directly applicable to those bardo transitions.
Okay, so it's like training.
Yeah.
For a different kind of reality.
Yeah, one where your usual reference points might be gone.
Okay, I see the parallels here.
Yeah.
Now, remember that rare orchid that blooms under a full moon?
Oh, yeah.
Gold uses that as a metaphor for spiritual seeking.
Right. It's not something that you just stumble upon.
Right.
It takes real effort and preparation.
And he adds another layer to that analogy.
He does.
Doesn't he?
He says that those who seek this extraordinary orchid must be prepared to offer something in return.
Oh, so it's not just about desire.
Right.
It's about demonstrating your worthiness.
Yes.
To receive such a rare gift.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's like an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
You have to show up with something to offer.
Yeah.
That proves you're ready to handle this powerful, potentially transformative experience.
Yeah.
But what does that offering even look like in a spiritual sense?
It's not about material possessions or social status or anything like that. It's about the state of your being, your level of consciousness, your commitment to doing the work.
Okay.
Gold emphasizes that you can't access this higher realm where this orchid exists if you're clinging to selfish desires or operating from a place of fear and scarcity.
That makes me think of those ancient washing societies.
Oh, yeah.
That Gold describes.
Yeah.
They performed these ritual cleansings.
They did.
Not just for physical purification.
Right.
But also as preparation for shamanic journeys
mm-hmm.
and other altered states of consciousness.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
These rituals weren't just about hygiene. They were about deliberately shifting one's awareness.
Okay.
Creating a separation from ordinary life. And entering a more sacred space.
It's a powerful way to use physical actions to create an internal shift.
It is.
So do you think there's a connection between these ancient practices and the kind of work Gold is talking about.
Absolutely. Both emphasize the importance of intentionality,
okay,
preparation,
right,
and a willingness to step outside your comfort zone,
okay,
to access deeper levels of experience.
So it seems like waking up the machine,
yeah,
is about equipping ourselves for that kind of journey.
Right.
Whether it's literal or metaphorical.
Exactly.
Where do we even begin?
Gold suggests we start with simple observation.
Okay.
Pay attention to your thoughts.
Yeah.
Your reactions, the meaning that you assign to things.
Uh-huh.
Notice the patterns that keep you stuck, the fears that hold you back.
That sounds a lot like mindfulness practice.
Yeah, it is.
But with a more directed focus,
yeah,
on those habitual patterns.
Right.
Limiting beliefs.
Okay.
And once you start to see those patterns clearly, you can begin to make different choices.
Right. And Gold emphasizes that this is an ongoing process.
Okay.
It's not a one-time fix.
So there's no magic bullet.
Not really.
It's about consistent effort.
Yeah.
And a commitment to the work.
That's the key. And while that 30-day retreat is an accelerated version,
look,
Gold is clear that transformation can happen anywhere, anytime.
Right.
As long as you're willing to put in the effort.
Okay.
He even tells this funny story.
Oh, yeah.
About a student who was so determined to attend this retreat that he was considering selling his truck to pay for it.
Wow.
And Gold, with his typical humor, suggested that the student just get a credit card and charge it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So the work isn't about deprivation,
right,
or hardship.
No, it's about making choices that align with your deepest values.
Right.
And sometimes that requires, you know, a little creativity and resourcefulness.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
Now back to the retreat for a moment.
Okay.
You mentioned that it simulates a Bardo-like state.
Yeah.
What exactly does that mean?
So Gold describes the waking state of the machine,
right,
which is cultivated during the retreat,
yeah,
as having parallels to the heightened awareness experienced in the Bardos.
Okay.
He says that in this waking state, your perception shifts dramatically. You can see everything with incredible clarity.
Right.
As though the usual filters of perception have dissolved.
It sounds almost superhuman.
It is a radical shift in consciousness.
Okay.
Gold even compares it to astronauts training for weightlessness, saying that we should be preparing ourselves to function in the weightlessness of the absence of negative emotions.
Absence of negative emotions.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is characteristic of higher dimensions.
So instead of being weighed down,
right,
by our reactive patterns,
yeah,
we're learning to operate from a place of greater freedom and clarity.
Precisely. And while drugs or other external means can induce altered states,
okay,
Gold emphasizes that they don't activate the transformational functions of the machine,
right,
in the same way that waking up does.
It's not just about having a cool experience.
Right.
It's about using that experience,
yeah,
to fuel genuine growth and change.
That's it.
And Gold encourages us to use our own unique skills and talents in service of the work.
He does.
He mentions a musician, Jimmy Accardi,
uh-huh,
who was struggling with whether his music had any real value in this context.
Right.
This is the same Jimmy who had those spontaneous Bardo experiences, trying to make sense of those experiences through his music.
Yeah.
Seemed like a pretty powerful way to process what he'd been through.
It was. And Gold's response is really insightful.
Yeah.
He told Jimmy that it wasn't about changing the music itself,
right,
but about changing himself.
Okay.
Using the music as a tool to work through those experiences,
okay,
and integrate them more fully.
I love that.
Yeah.
It means that any creative pursuit, any passion, can be a vehicle for this kind of transformation.
It can.
But what about the more challenging aspects of our inner lives?
Okay.
Those negative emotions,
yeah,
that seem to pop up no matter how much work we do.
Gold is very clear that we can't ignore or suppress those emotions.
Right.
In fact, he says that trying to fight against them directly is futile.
Yep.
They're too powerful and too subtle for that.
So if we can't fight them, what are we supposed to do with these negative emotions?
He suggests that we shift our focus,
okay,
from the emotions themselves to our reactions to them.
Our reactions,
yeah,
okay.
Notice the panic, the fear, the clinging that arises when you experience something uncomfortable.
So we're adding a whole other layer of suffering,
yeah,
on top of the original emotion by resisting it, judging it, trying to push it away.
Exactly. And this is where waking up the machine comes in.
Okay.
That heightened awareness allows you to observe those emotions,
yep,
without getting caught in their grip.
Right.
To see them as passing phenomena,
okay,
rather than defining aspects of your identity.
So it's like creating a space,
yeah,
between the emotion and the reaction,
uh-huh,
which allows you to choose a more conscious response.
You got it. And that ability to choose rather than react habitually is crucial for navigating those bardo transitions.
Right, because those ingrained patterns don't just disappear when you die.
No, they don't.
They follow you.
They do.
Into those bardo realms.
That's why the preparation is so important.
This is all starting to feel a lot less abstract and theoretical.
Totally.
Not just about what happens after death, but about how we're living right now. The choices we're making, the patterns we're reinforcing.
You're connecting the dots beautifully.
Yeah.
Gold emphasizes that preparing for death isn't about escaping life, but about living more fully, more consciously.
And he's given us some pretty incredible tools to do just that.
He has.
We've covered so much ground in this deep dive.
We have.
But I feel like we've only just scratched the surface.
There's always more to explore. Yeah, especially with a teacher like E.J. Gold.
Yeah.
But, before we wrap up this deep dive, let's bring it back to some of the key takeaways.
Okay, so much to unpack.
Yeah.
Talking about waking up the machine and facing our fears and preparing for the bardo realms. Pretty intense stuff.
Yeah.
But you've made it clear that these concepts aren't just for spiritual seekers or, you know, those facing imminent death.
Not at all. In fact, Gold's teachings are ultimately about living more consciously, more intentionally, right here, right now.
Right.
It's offering us a framework for understanding not just death, but the whole of existence.
And he uses some pretty creative examples to make these complex ideas relatable.
Yeah.
You remember the video game analogy?
Oh, yeah.
He used that to explain how our habitual patterns,
what
he calls machine, can keep us stuck in these reactive loops, both in life and in the bardos.
Yeah, it's a great way to visualize how we often operate on autopilot, you know?
Right.
Reacting instinctively to whatever life throws at us.
A Gold is saying we have the potential to become more conscious players.
Yeah.
To choose our responses rather than blindly following the same old scripts.
And he emphasized that this waking up process, the shift from reacting to responding, is crucial for navigating those bardo transitions.
Yeah. He even described the bardos as this series of chambers, each with its own unique characteristics and challenges.
Right.
Almost like levels in a video game.
And just like in a game.
Right.
Your choices in the bardos determine your experience.
Right. But he also reminds us that we're not the character in the game.
Right.
But the player.
Yeah.
There's a fundamental separation between our true nature, that awareness that's experiencing it all, and the roles that we play, the emotions that we feel.
Precisely. And that realization can be incredibly liberating, both in life and in the bardos.
Okay.
Gold suggests that this shifting perspective, this ability to observe without getting swept away, it's one of the most powerful tools that we can cultivate.
And that makes me think of that chamber that Gold described with the endless bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
A pretty vivid image for those habitual patterns.
It is.
That can keep us trapped in these repetitive loops.
Exactly, both in life and in those bardo experiences.
Yeah. But he also offered a glimmer of hope.
He did.
Remember that red book?
Oh, yeah.
That symbol of guidance that appears when you need it most.
Right.
Offering those specific instructions tailored to your situation.
Yeah, the Red Book represents that inner knowing, that intuitive wisdom that's always available to us.
Right.
If we just learn to listen.
It's a reminder that even in the midst of the unknown, we're not alone.
Exactly.
I think that's a really empowering message, that we have the potential to become our own guides, to develop that inner compass that can help us navigate even the most challenging terrain.
And that brings us back to the heart of Gold's teachings.
Right.
The importance of doing the work.
It's not a passive process.
No, it requires effort, commitment.
Right.
And a willingness to face those parts of ourselves that we might rather avoid.
Exactly. And while Gold offers tools and techniques like that 30-day retreat, he emphasizes that the work can happen anywhere, anytime.
It can.
As long as we're willing to show up and do it.
And he's clear that it's not about achieving some kind of perfect state of enlightenment.
Right.
It's about continually evolving and growing.
Okay.
And expanding our capacity for awareness and compassion.
Well, this deep dive has been an incredible journey.
It has.
I feel like I've gained a whole new perspective on death.
Yeah.
Not as something to be feared,
but
as a transition.
A process of transformation.
And what's really amazing is how these teachings about death can actually help us live more fully, more consciously right now.
That's the beauty of it, you know, by exploring these seemingly out there concepts, we're actually delving into the depths of our own being.
Right.
Uncovering hidden potentials and discovering new ways of being in the world.
Well, dear listeners, we've reached the end of our deep dives into death and the bardos guided by the wisdom of E.J. Gold. We hope this exploration has sparked your curiosity, challenged your assumptions, and perhaps even inspired you to embark on your own journey of self-discovery. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep waking up.